You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 6, 2023. And inside, we're all Florida men.
Lucia, do you know why you're here?
Bad luck, I guess.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And we're reaching the end of the year. We're squeezing the last few bits of news out of the year before we turn our attention to just a bunch of end-of-year game stuff. I'm excited about it this year.
It's pretty buck wild. I think I'm going to try to squeeze in, like, three more games in the next, like, week and a half. Like, I really want to just, like, dip my toes in a bunch, you know, to see, like, what I can get a taste of. I finished Alan Wake 2, so I can move on from that. Now I'll have
we got to talk about that, too. We got to do, like, a debrief on that at some point.
Yeah, it's a cool one. There's a lot to unpack in that particular experience, for sure.
Yeah. This week, we're still wrapping things up, and we're recording this before Keeley's doing his thing. He's just trying to get out of our way, I think.
The little like game awards, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to get out of our way before the gamies come to town. So we're going to do two things. I don't know if you heard about this. You heard about this GTA? You heard about this GTA franchise that some people seem to like?
It's something popular, right? Like, it's something popular, I think.
There was, for the first time ever, people saw GTA 6. It definitely never was seen before. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first premiere. No one ever saw any trailers.
Out of curiosity, like, how much was leaked? Because I saw things online where people were, like, looking at photos of people's kids being like, this is proof that it's all true.
I mean, there was a ton of, they released the official trailer for it. But this was, I feel like it was... Gosh, I don't even know when it was. Was it even this year? It might have been more than a year ago.
Like the big leak.
Where there was that. Yeah, there was a security incident, I think. And some stuff got leaked, you know, from, you know, like a hack or a credential compromise or something like that. And it was super early game footage. Like, there was a lot of placeholder stuff. There was a lot of, like, totally unfinished environments, like that sort of thing.
Were people judging it harshly? Like, this game looks like shit.
Well, I think there was always a, like, oh, it's just the new GTA stuff will always cause a stir. But there was a thing where the character was a woman. And so that, like, set people off, and also set people off in the rumor mill category as well.
Let me talk to you guys about a character, Samus.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Won't you be surprised? God. And I think there was some stuff around, even in the very, very early builds, like, there was some stuff that made it seem like Vice City was going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. And so now they released the trailer, and so we'll talk about GTA, we'll talk about the trailer.
Which they also released early, because I think there was yet another leak, right?
Like, I think the trailer itself had leaked or something, or I don't know, something happened, but, like, which in this day and age is not a surprise, but, you know, they had even mentioned that they were going to do it at some point in December, so, like, you know, people were just theorizing or whatever.
Although, as someone who has been on the other end of leaks, they really fucking suck.
I mean, it totally disrupts the whole plan. I mean, there's a carefully crafted plan and all of that stuff gets totally upset. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's all the Game Awards stuff, which we might do a couple funny we'll do, like, some sealed envelope predictions since we're recording this prior to it happening. So it'll be funny to look back and see how off base we were.
Our called shots. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's talk about GTA 6 for a little bit. Straight up GTA 6. And after, gosh,
10
GTA
years,
5
right?
Was it 10 years? Like, because we were playing those not even on this console generation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird because I feel like every year, despite the game coming out, 10 years, 2013, despite it being so old, it's consistently in the top charts of highest selling games every year.
Yeah. So it's like at a certain point, like, it's kind of like Nintendo Switches. It's like,
absolutely,
you're running out of humans to sell this to. So, like, what's the deal?
Well, and I don't know even what it's become, right? Like, describing what GTA 5 is today, this is not the game that released day one, right? Like, right? Sure, the story is there, but, like, the GTA Online experience, the depth of role-playing, all of the DLC that they've released, I know they've done, like, you know, race car tracks and stuff, and there's all kinds of, like, crazy game modes that seem cool. It's way beyond my grasp at this point. But yeah, it's pretty buck wild that we finally get another one, because in a way it seems like this could have just been like the thing that lasted forever. I guess we always knew we'd get another GTA. The IP is too ripe for the picking. But
yeah, I mean, just the capitalism demands another GTA.
It does. But you know, it makes sense to me that it's 10 years because it is just printing money, right? Like, it is constantly up there in sales. And microtransactions, I'm sure, earning them a lot of, like, consistent cash. So they could take their time. And, again, 10 years since GTA 5, they've been working on this game for a very, very long time. They've invested a ton of money and a ton of time into it. It's a rare opportunity for a studio to be able to invest back in so much of their time and money into something. So I think, you know, I'm just as hyped as everybody else about GTA 6. There's also something to say, I think, about when it came out, right? Like, the GTAs, and even Red Dead to some extent, has always been very political and very, like, topical to a moment in time.
Yeah.
And I think that GTA 6 looks like there are many different opportunities to speak to how fucking kind of nutty it is in the U.S. these days, and the whole, like, Florida politics and the strange sort of dynamics that state has within the greater context of like U.S. American narratives about, you know, like our U.S. identity and stuff.
I mean, you're oh man, turn back the clock 10 years to the world we lived in. This was a pre-Trump president world, right? Yep.
Pre-Ron DeSantis, really, leading the pack. Yep.
I mean, it was, there's just a lot of, it's been a big 10 years.
things change, man, over 10 years.
You know, like some decades are, some 10-year spans are different than others, and this was a hell of a 10-year span. So, but I feel like GTA, even in the year 2013, I feel like GTA was encountering what I'll call the South Park problem of the world itself has become a parody. Like, it's gotten so much more outrageous than I think anyone probably could have predicted. And I think the Trump stuff is like the apex of that shit.
Yep.
So, like, I just don't know where GTA goes, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we could talk a little bit more in depth, like, about the trailer in a way, right? But, like, I had shared with you the sort of the, and you had mentioned you recognized some of the real life memes that were on display, right? Like, a lot of the GTA 6 trailer are pulled out of actual genuine headlines of ludicrous shit happening in Florida, right? Like, people twerking on moving cars, going like at least 30, you know what I mean? Like, that whip is going for a ride. You know, crazy tattooed faces in courtrooms and things like that, like alligators being pulled out of pools and stuff. All of those sort of are live memes. But I think the sort of comedic backdrop that provides, at least in the trailer, made the sort of story of these two characters draw me in a little bit more, right? Like when the two, it's like a female male, almost like a Bonnie and Clyde duo.
Yes, right?
And you can see in the poster, one of them has been picked up for jail time because she has a, what do you call it? Like an ankle tracker?
Yeah, she has like an ankle bracelet, yeah.
Right, so like their communication to each other of like, look, we're just going to survive. We got to trust. And there's like, you know, romance involved and stuff. That to me, that delivery of those lines just felt grounded in a way. So I think the thing that is most fruitful to explore here is like knowing how ludicrous reality is, tell a story that's actually much more grounded with the main characters, which we didn't have in GTA 5. I think a lot of the GTA 5 main characters were really outlandish, and I'm sure a lot of the NPCs will be outlandish because that's the world that both we live in and the GTA franchise treads in. But I'm hoping that based upon the trailer, the main storyline of those two characters is grounded in a way that reflects the way that we all have to like actually genuinely actively navigate our wild times, you know?
Yeah. 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 I'm trying to remember from GTA 5. Was it? I mean, because there was the three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trevor and who was it? Was it Franklin or was that from GTA San Andreas?
I don't recall.
And Michael, I think, was one of the other ones. They did a thing where they, one of them was definitely the straight man of like one of
Michael.
Them.
Michael
kind of
was
saw
the main.
How,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And then I know Trevor was the one that was like,
he was the insane,
the
yes.
meth head basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which by the way, just a side note that I still think about this scene in GTA 5 where like you're coming out of a house or something like that. And like Trevor,
not wearing
he tries
pants.
To like hop the fence.
Yes. Yep.
And he just falls. It's like, oh fuck. You know, like yeah. it's just like a throwaway joke. But it's like, I still think about that as like such a funny little character bit for Trevor and just for that game.
100%.
In a game, which by the way, if you look back on it, I guarantee you, I said I did not like that game. Like, I think that was the game where I was like, I don't know if I'm on board with Rockstar stuff anymore.
Yeah. Stephen Ogg plays Trevor and that guy is fucking hilarious. But yeah, I still think of the yee-ass haircut.
Oh yeah, yes.
Like meme and the like ongoing versions that produced was just so good.
But I think that's the sort of stuff where Rockstar stuff does still grab my interest, even if I feel like I've kind of written them off from a gameplay perspective. You know, the Housers, well, I guess it's only one of them now because one of the Housers left, I think, a few years ago. Who was it? Dan Houser. I'm just doing a quick little, I forget. Dan. Okay, so Sam Houser is still there and he's, you know, kind of the creative force behind that whole studio.
Yeah.
But one of them left. And so it's kind of interesting to see what, this is one of the first games that like a major parts of its development happened after he departed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am interested to see what that looks like. And if they continue to just double down on those small character moments, because I don't have a huge amount of confidence that they'll be able to, GTA 3 or GTA 4 was a much better, like, kind of macro critique of America than GTA 5 was. And I just don't have a lot of confidence that someone that has been around for that long, that is of that age, that is of that kind of national background, can grapple with a macro critique of America at this point in time. But on a character level, I think it could be interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I would hope that there's enough new blood and the weight of it, right? Like the weight that GTA 5 holds on your company is so grand that I think there's a good chance that it really does push people to go above and beyond in storytelling as well, right? Like it's not just my hope would be that it's not gonna be like, let's just sort of poke fun at Florida being a weird, silly place, and like the game is just sort of reveling in the sort of memeified culture that we live in, right? Like I'd prefer having something grander to say about the state of the world in America, you know what I mean?
But doesn't that make you worried then? Because like that's what they like, that trailer had so many things that were just like, haha, look at Florida type of, and so I was a little bit kind of off.
Yeah, I mean,
by
it's the
it,
first
like,
trailer.
I'm a little worried.
It's the first trailer where they're trying to like showcase it. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I don't know. I didn't walk away from it. I didn't recognize all of the memes at first, so maybe it hit me not as hard. But
yeah.
For the first trailer, trying to sort of embody a sense of place, which is super important in GTA world, right? Like, and super important for them to reset expectations going from LA, because this can't just feel like GTA 5 again,
right?
But with like a slightly different, you know, color palette,
right?
And so I think I get it. Like, that's what this trailer was for. And again, maybe I'm thinking more, I'm putting too much credence on like the main characters' place within that world, but
yeah
I don't know, I walked away from it a little bit more optimistic, I think, you know.
I'm glad then, because like maybe I'm just like in a weird mood at this point in time in the year, but I'm also in the year 2023 it gets increasingly fraught when a bunch of primarily UK dudes are writing stories and like
about America.
Yeah. And also just like, oh, we're going to show, look at these crazy people and twerking on cars. And it's like, yeah, those are all people of color. And like, maybe you should think about the like context of their lives. And like, I don't know. Like,
You're totally right.
You better be careful. Like, yeah, like you're getting close. And again, that sort of shit, it's the same shit that was happening in San Andreas and the same shit that was happening in the early 2000s. But like, I'd like to think that people are a little bit more like cognizant of, you know, the danger of punching down too much.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, ooh, this is like, if this is flirting close to something that it could be distasteful, which is, you know, makes me in a way morbidly more curious about it, but like also kind of like, hopefully they know what they're doing.
I mean, surely they're tapping some of the same team that worked on Red Dead and Red Dead 2, right? Like in terms of writing staff. And I think those games did a pretty remarkable job of actually tackling some of the bigger issues, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing too is like a lot of the issues that are, I mean, again, you're spot on about, especially like black culture and the way that's used so often as like a set dressing, without really sort of like reflecting the communities from whence that humor comes.
Yeah.
But there's other issues at play that folks in the UK are aware of too, right? Like capitalism knows no bounds when it comes to exploitation of the poor, you know what I mean? And like the strange cultural artifacts that come out of culture in which right-wing extremists can be like openly racist in the streets, you know what I mean? And like and yet be literally working side by side people that are the opposite extreme, right?
Yes.
That still exists in the UK. You know, look at Boris Johnson, his fucking strange head. You know what I mean?
Like, totally. So look at his fucked up
fucking
head.
Strange head.
Look at his yee ass haircut.
Look at Boris Johnson's yee ass haircut. Dude looks like he just got fucking, what do you call it when people put your head in the toilet in middle school?
He's walking around with the 24/7 swirly.
That's what it looks like, dude. I fucking hate Boris Johnson, but
most people do, I think.
Yeah, I think most people do. I think he hates himself on the real. So all that is to say, like, I don't know. I think you're right. The other thing too, I mean, 100% you're right, because these games are so big that you have so many individual smaller stories and a bunch of other shit going on, right? So just like in Red Dead, there are storylines where you're like, oh, this is a really strong narrative arc for this particular character, or this is an interesting commentary or interesting element. And that storyline is memorable, or that quest chain is memorable. And then you have other parts where you're like, that's fucking ludicrous. Like, this is just like a weird, silly thing that was some guy's like a zombie or something, right? Where it doesn't work for whatever reason.
Right.
It's always going to be like that at a game at this scale, you know, when you're talking about so many storylines and so many NPCs and what you focus on. I don't know. It's tough. And then the other issue is just from a marketing perspective, right? Like, there's a certain expectation of how you treat these things. And I don't think we're going to come out of the gate with GTA 6 being like, hey, we're going to talk about MAGA asshats and stuff. Right. Like,
right.
It's going to.
Well, if you think about like, you know, Rockstar's other marketing, like they're just so weird in their marketing. Like they sometimes do like super long, like 30 minutes, like we will talk to you about the systems in Red Dead Redemption 2. And it's like, they just go on a long tear about like how the horses work. And so like, you could easily be like, you know, this game's not coming out for 2 years, basically. And so, like, you could easily see a long, tale of, like, and now we're going to talk to you about how we designed the ecosystem of the Everglades.
Yeah,
It's like, okay, great.
You know? 100%. Like, we went to Florida and we interviewed a bunch of people living on the bayou or whatever.
Yeah. I think I'm very interested in how they balance the like big picture stuff, like you were saying. I think the character work has gotten stronger and stronger, even like those side stories, you know, I think that stuff is really strong. Even that stuff in Red Dead 2. Remember there was that quest where you can just murder a slaveholder. And I was like, this is a great quest.
Yes. You know? The quest where like you come out at night and they're like, the clan is out there with torches and you just fuck them all up. Yeah. That shit's great.
It's like a very Tarantino-esque scene where it's like, they can, you are unapologetically murdering terrible people, and it's like, this is great. Like, and so like, you could very easily do that shit where it's like, I would love to find some fucking idiots in Florida who are like burning books or like beating up trans people and just like drive them just into the Everglades.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. You know? Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of like potential there.
The other thing I'm kind of excited about, and maybe this is just the way that I've been sort of galvanized towards the end of the year, in a year where there's just a glut of video games, it's just, it seems different. You know, like there's just not a lot of people who are creating games that are partaking in the now, like the absolute present, you know?
Yeah.
We get weird games. We get a lot of fantasy games. We get a lot of sci-fi games. Like there's a lot of cool storytelling. I don't mean to undersell that. There's a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff. That's good. But very few games are like, we're going to tell stories that are based, you know, for better or worse in the actual time period that we are in right now. That aren't small indie games. And so I got to be hyped because it's just another thing that's going to feel different and you know, maybe not fully unique because we have a long history of GTA games, but at least something that is like has a fucking take, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe I'll disagree with it at times, but it's refreshing to get games that actually have something to say about like modern times in a way that isn't so oblique.
Yeah. That's a good point. There really isn't a lot of contemporary setting, especially at this scale. You know, the biggest scale of game. This is the biggest scale of game you can basically get. You know, a Grand Theft Auto. What's your prediction on what happens to GTA 5?
I think that it just lives side by side. I think that the plan is that, in my mind, GTA 5 and GTA Online, like these are consistent moneymakers. So it does not make any sense to sunset them at all. I think there's a certain expectation that with time people would come back over to GTA 6, but GTA 5 has this huge history of mod support as well. Like there's so many mods.
Online is nuts.
Yeah, and like role-playing communities.
Yeah.
Even if those communities want to move to GTA 6, it is a cumbersome process to move a community. And you have to start from scratch in many ways when it comes to mod support. So even something that's as basic as like, I don't know, skins on cars, like you might need a new mod to do that in GTA 6. And so the way that the game is played amongst a large subset of its audience, like might just not be playable day one for GTA 6. So I would not expect that community to diminish from a financial perspective. Like certainly the people who dip their toes into it would not be diminishing for years to come. And if I were Rockstar, I think I would just fully support that their continued existence. And maybe if the game feels different enough, right? Like, I don't know, LA has different vibes than Florida. Maybe you don't want to be chased by a crocodile or whatever. Then, you know, they can sit side by side. Now, it's a lot easier to understand, like, the Red Dead Redemption versus GTA split. Because they're just, you know, they're completely different worlds and environments. Like, that makes sense to do. But anyway, that's my take. What do you think?
I mean, it's so, I mean, I agree with you where it's such a, somehow GTA 5 and then spawning GTA Online, the modern version of GTA Online from this. I mean, isn't it consistently like one of the most like played online games?
Yes. Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's just, it's wild how that's taken off it's been a project over a decade and they have it. So like, it just seems like it'd be really hard to walk away from that. And so I'm wondering if they just expand GTA Online to have like, do you want to launch GTA Online Los Santos or do you want to launch GTA Online Vice City? You know, like I don't know, like potentially having to rebuild that many millions of players and a community of that many millions of people, like in a, get them to jump over and like, and then also, do you really want to, like, what are you going to do? Like, all of the skins, all the cash money, all of that stuff. Like, are you going to, like, bring that over? Is that going to crush the economy of GTA 6 online away? Like,
I mean, that's the dream, right? Like, the dream as a player is that day one, everything's transferable. That would be the dream, right? I think the reality is that a game that was made 10 years ago, like, I think it's just a fucking technological headache to try to overcome that. Yeah. That is probably too great, right? Like, a lot of companies struggle to make that happen, like just across fucking consoles. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it's yeah. It is not an easy thing to do. So I would be shocked if they're able to pull that off, to be honest. Just because the game's so
fucking
old. I
mean, you hear about like Bungie, like they've been pretty public about mm-hmm. how difficult it is to maintain an engine and a technology over the course of 10 years or whatever,
mm-hmm. and a workforce,
shifting consoles, workforce, all of that. Yeah, I mean, like there's people that probably. I mean, there's people that probably like put some fundamental things in place for GTA Online that don't work there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so if you have to start it from scratch again, it's like you're really starting from scratch. And so I don't know, like it's just such a big task. But then I don't know. You really don't want to splinter that user base. Like I feel like they have to connect them in some way at some point, even from a logistical perspective. But like, I don't know. I would, especially after playing Red Dead 2, I really want to see a much more modern take on the mechanics of their open world, like mm-hmm. even how the controls work, how all of that shit works, because Red Dead 2 felt dated. Mm-hmm. It felt dated when it came out to me. Yeah. Yeah. And so
I remember we had a lot of issues now, with like the way that you get on your horse or something like that.
I mean, I just mean it just in terms of everything, like the mm-hmm. animation priority, the how the menus operate, like all of that stuff. Like it just seemed like I don't know, it kind of reminded me of like how the Telltale games were in the past, where it's like, oh, like you really haven't been able to substantively step away from your core mechanics for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And it would be really hard to mash those things up in the same online experience unless you're developing to the lowest common denominator, which is GTA Online 5, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't envy their task, but like they cannot have no online component, because it's been one of the biggest things in the multiplayer gaming world for the past 10 years. So they can't not have it. So they'll have to figure out something to do with it. I just think it will be a bit of a tricky needle to thread.
I mean, you were talking about how they sometimes do like marketing trailers that are very much about mechanics. There is going to be a whole presentation about online, because it's going to have to be super fucking robust from day
That's
one.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, I think this trailer earned something like 22 million views in the first 24 hours. Like, there's no world where GTA 6 is not like the highest selling game of the year.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
and we're like 2 years out from it.
Is it really not until 2025?
It's 2025. That's what they put on their own poster, 2025.
Man, I love it when studios call their shots, you know, like that.
I'm not even confident it's 2025.
I think it's probably 2025. They've been working on this for so fucking long.
Oh man. I mean, it is, at least it's polite of them to put 2025 at least, you know.
Yeah.
If they put 2024, I'd be like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can tell you now, there's already conversations in the games industry about like, when do we launch? Like, what is the rumor of its launch window?
Because right. If it's, we need launching, to get the hell out of the
get
way.
Get the fuck out of the way. And for like a month, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you are launching, easily. Yeah. You know, if this drops in March, don't launch in spring. Like this is not a Q1 release. You know what I mean?
If this launches in March, we'll see you at 4th of July.
Exactly right. Like that's the soonest you can fucking release. Like it's that buck wild, which again, I love. Like, I don't know. There's just, I don't love it because it's a nightmare and it sucks for a lot of publishers, but
very few games command that level of like water displacement. It's like trying to like get a cruise ship into a dock or something, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And even games like Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild, where you know they're gonna sell like gangbusters, they're a little bit niche, they're on the Switch, you know, so like you don't really make room for it. And you know, in terms of
games, you don't need to make room because no one it's not competing with a PlayStation or an Xbox audience. So you can launch whenever you want because people are gonna buy it anyway.
I mean, I guess you could say Call of Duty is a game like that, but even you know, they have a lot of struggles when they first
maybe
not after this year. I think Elden Ring is going to be that way for the next Elden Ring, like I think,
yeah,
which is crazy to say, but I think people will want to get out of the way of FromSoft releases in the future, which is pretty cool. But it's fun to watch something that is going, you know, is going to be like a cultural meteor, sort of take place. And the fact that this trailer blew up as big as it did, like, this is the first part of a very long marketing cycle for them. In fact, I'm shocked that they announced it so early. Like, I don't know. In this day and age, like, people don't really announce video games 2 years in advance. If you're GTA 6, I guess you have to, and it's leaking anyway, so you might as well. So
get ahead of it.
Yeah, get ahead of it. But it's gonna be fun to watch and see how it shapes up. I'm optimistic. Sounds like you're a little bit less so, but we'll see how it cracks.
I'm more cautious, but I'm still. I mean, after 10 years, you have to take a look. Yeah. Like, what have they been doing for 10 years?
What have you been doing in there, Rockstar?
Yeah. I mean, and there's been so much turnover. You know, that Leslie Benzies guy left. Like, he was kind of the operator behind all of their games and stuff. I mean, this is, I don't know. There's a lot of, there's been a lot of turmoil in that company. And I always am interested in what sort of games come out when there's been changing of the guards.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to talk briefly about the
Game Awards? Do some predictions? Yeah, I feel like we always, for whatever reason, we record on nights like before big news drops and events.
Yeah, which is just the Murphy's Law of
the way it goes. Jumping around here. Should we just do
what do you think is going to be announced though? Like, what do you think? Like okay, here's the question.
I'm going to say
Kojima's going to be there for sure, right?
Yeah.
He's going to have to be there. What's Kojima bring to the Game Awards?
What is he working on right now?
Well, there's Death Stranding 2. They premiered that there. What was that, last year or the year before, I think?
I think it's last too early year, for another Death Stranding 2 asset.
I mean, he's doing something with Microsoft.
I mean, that would be cool.
You know, announce the Microsoft thing.
When's he going to just make a movie already? Maybe he'll just announce his movie.
Do they do a thing where Kojima and Sam Lake are in some sort of sketch together?
No joke, 100%. I think that's actually not unlikely. And if Kojima has a game that's anything like Alan Wake 2, I could absolutely see them. I could also see a scenario where, because we know Kojima will announce like partnerships way in advance, where he's just like, it's me and Norman Reedus. We're gonna do something. You know, we're like
we're BFFs.
Yeah, we're BFFs now. And me and Guillermo del Toro, like, we're gonna do something. That'd be cool if Kojima and Sam Lake were like, we're partnering up on a fucking crossover, you know? Like, right. I could see something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that also seems like a very, like, Jeff Keighley, like, that seems like a mashup that he would be very excited to premiere.
I think we're going to see an Elden Ring, speaking of Elden Ring, we're probably going to see the Elden Ring DLC trailer.
Oh, that's a good point, because we haven't heard shit.
Which we're late on in sort of FromSoft history. We would have seen something by now. We would have seen something in March. So we haven't seen anything about Elden Ring. I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of high expectations around it. So maybe they've been like deliberately slow. But I'd guess on that. I think I called it last year, which did not happen. We're going to get a fucking Bloodborne remake. It's been the year of remakes. I think this is the year. You know? This is the year.
I don't think that. Well, actually, maybe they do a FromSoft twofer. You know, I was like, well, if they're going to do an Elden Ring thing, they probably won't do a Bloodborne thing. But like, I guess if they're... Here is the next triple threat from the people that brought you Elden Ring, and they talk about like an Armored Core DLC and the Bloodborne remake, and then the Elden Ring trailer is like the big finish for them or something.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I think that could be cool.
What else? I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Like whatever happened to that Wolverine game?
Oh, yeah. I think it's probably killed. Man, the state of the industry is in such like a weird place. That is true, you know? Like, I think a lot of projects will just straight up be killed and we'll never hear from them again.
That was like a high profile announcement too.
Yeah. Are there any Star Wars games still in the works?
Besides, I feel like there's always Star Wars games, because wasn't there one from the Respawn people, right?
There was like another one. That's right, yes.
I forget what they were, if it had an announcement or anything though.
Hmm.
Do you think we'll see any of the, remember during the lawsuit, there was all those Xbox leaks around the new system revamp and the new controller they were going to make. Like, does that show up there?
Have we seen much hardware announcements at the Game Awards though? I feel like that's just not the vibe.
I believe they announced, was it the S?
At the Game Awards?
I'm pretty sure there was a Game Awards, like Phil Spencer, like, check out the new Xbox. Like, you know, when they, they maybe had already announced it, but maybe they hadn't shown it, you know, like the actual hardware.
Yeah.
And Microsoft is definitely of that, like, hey, we just want to go where the gamers are. Like, I could see that sort of happening where Sony turns its nose up at that stuff a little bit more, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like Microsoft wants to be there and say something like, hey, check this game out. And it's on Game Pass tonight, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was actually wondering if, because there was the leaks about the new Xbox Series S update, like maybe that. But I think that's too soon and too big of an announcement to put in something like the Game Awards.
I do want to see that controller.
What about the next Skyrim, like Elder Scrolls 6?
Like, they're just releasing Starfield. I think people would eat them alive.
Yeah. But they could just show the name. Like, Starfield didn't have the strongest reception this year.
But that's what I mean. People would be even more pissed. They'll be like, what?
You're already giving up on support?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Wait, have they not announced the... I mean, they announced that they're going to do Elder Scrolls 6, but like
they haven't shown anything.
They haven't talked about anything. Yeah.
Maybe Hades 2 stuff? Oh, also what we should be getting is Hollow Knight 2. Like, maybe they'll... I don't know, show more. I guess we've already seen so much of this shit, you know, but...
That's the game that I always, like... If people ask me on any given day, is Hollow Knight 2 out? I would say yes. Like, we've seen that game for so long.
I know, I want to play it so bad.
I just feel like Microsoft has a lot to prove. Like where's Hellblade?
Yeah.
I mean, like, could they give us a date? Like, it's, hey, check this out. Hellblade Game Pass day one on February 2nd. You know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, because we don't have a release date of Hellblade, do we?
I don't think so. And they've been talking about that and working on it for a long
time.
Senua's
Saga. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of things that we've already seen. I think.
Yeah, that could be true.
Yeah.
What do you think takes some of the categories here?
Game of the Year. Man. It's going to be Tears of the Kingdom, I think.
I was saying that or Baldur's Gate. It feels like those are the two that people are really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best game direction. I bet you that'll go to Alan Wake too, because they conflate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll have what's his face on stage.
Yeah. Best adaptation. What?
What is an adaptation?
We're getting into gaming categories. Video games. Here. This is for like a TV or film adaptation.
Oh, they're all. Yeah, you're right. They're all. Oh man, this is so weird. Then you're just like.
I bet you it'll go to the Super Mario Brothers movies. But I wanted to go to The Last of Us.
That Castlevania animated series on Netflix is very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, but The Last of Us is like HBO money, you know?
I mean, that's true. That's true. I get that.
Yeah, I think to me, like a lot of these fights, like best narrative, best art direction, these are going to be between Alan Wake and whatever else something is front runner. Right? Like best narrative, Alan Wake 2 or Baldur's Gate 3. I don't know. They're very, very different forms of storytelling.
Like, what do you like? Do you like picking locks and being horny for elves, or are you horny for FMV?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you want like a spoopy story or like a fantasy story? Yeah. Same with art direction, right? Like, it'll be.
Yeah.
Oh man, Lies of P is on this list. Good for you guys. Good for you.
Yeah. That was really like a breakout for this year,
dude. Best score of music is fucking a gangbuster category, because Alan Wake 2 has a really good score. Baldur's Gate 3 has a fantastic score.
Yep,
I think Baldur's Gate 3 should take that. No brainer.
Yeah,
that shit, man. Some of the battle music slaps so hard. You're like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna fucking fight this guy now. Get my team together.
There's so many things, like even like best AR VR game. Like, there's just so many, like the landscape is so wide now that it's like, I don't even know what all these things are.
Yeah. God, some of these categories are so weird. Best community support. It's just, it's so hard, dude. Like, what do you do?
Well, it's also like, what is even community support? Like, what does that entail? Like,
it entails everything.
Like, Cyberpunk is like a make good. It's like, we fixed it, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, how do you reward that? And then is it like the people that solve your bugs the fastest? Ideally, you don't have very many bugs, right?
Right. Or the people that have like the nicest forum moderators, like
yeah, because there's also like community development is different than community support, you know?
Yeah,
that's just a weird fucking category. I don't know. No Man's Sky. What about
independent game is funny too, because there was those little kerfluffles around like, some of these games, I think Dave the Diver specifically, like, is
it
published by one. Even like something like Annapurna is a huge publisher at this point. Is it really indie? You know?
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because I think Jeff Keighley responded to the Dave the Diver question and he called it as like the spirit of indie, which just sounds a little bit like a cop out. I agree. I actually do think that Dave the Diver should count, but it's just like, it's so clear every year that the nomenclature we use around recognizing games and categorizing them, like the taxonomy of award shows.
Yeah.
It just, it hits a wall every single fucking time because there's weird ass games, you know, and
weird, it's gotten so complex.
Super complex. Every single one of these games could win. I have no fucking clue who's going to win this. Cocoon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Best esports player of the year, Faker, because he won again.
Yeah, you were telling me about this before we were recording, where like he's, it's like his late career renaissance, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he's locked in. He's the GOAT. So there's no doubt about that.
The best. there's so many esports ones, by the way. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 distinct esports categories.
I bet you next year, like, this list is going to shrink. I think esports is in a really strange place right now. I would not be surprised.
I feel like we don't talk about it as much as we did. I don't know what caused that, but like, it feels like it didn't. It just, it's clearly still huge, but it wasn't in the headlines.
Yeah, where the money's at, it's kind of like fluctuated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, so many fucking games came out this year that every category feels weirdly small. Like, best multiplayer presented by Discord, and there's 5 games here. Like,
yeah.
Also, Super Mario Bros. Wonder is on this. That's cool.
I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, it's also like a bunch of different types of multiplayer games.
Yeah. Do you think it's where they have most anticipated games as a category? Like, it's not even in the content of the year.
It's not even out. It's just like, how hyped are you? We talk about this a lot, actually. Like, I feel like we go back and forth on whether this is even healthy to like get too hyped up for it.
Well, importantly, when we do our most anticipated games of the year list, we usually start with, or continue throughout the entire episode, which game is actually not going to come out.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, to at least temper our excitement with the realities of game publishing.
But I mean, to be fair though, like, I think all of these games are legitimately worth anticipating, so like,
100%. It's a
potentially a pretty strong 2024 calendar year.
Well, those first two in particular, FF7 Rebirth and Hades 2, like, oof, no matter who
wins,
there's
so many, like, yeah, day one I will play those.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there will be a random boy that gets on stage and starts spouting weird political views?
I think they are going to. You know what? No, I don't. I think that they're going to amp up security. But I am certain, like, at least one winner, especially in the indie games category, is going to make some comment on the Palestine.
Good for them. Because, yeah, I mean, there's a long history of people, Oscar speeches and all that. Like, you know, go for it.
Yeah, man. Every time someone walks up on stage and uses their platform to say, like, we should stop killing kids, like, you got my support, bro.
Do you remember last year when the, I forget his name, the guy who plays Kratos in the latest God of War series talked for like 30 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
And people were like, okay, anyway.
Hey, wrap it up here, bud. Wrap it up here.
He was just like thanking everyone and like telling the life story of the development of the game. Like,
you know,
he,
like,
just was making a meal out of
it. I loved Stargate as a kid, so I got to give that dude, you know, whatever time he needs.
Yeah, I think they will learn. The two biggest things that they learned from last year is that they need better stage security, and they need like the walk-off music and the hook.
It's so funny though, because the more we talk about it, the more that this starts to become your just normal fucking show, you know, other than the weird categories, I guess, but we're kind of lobbying to remove them, so.
That is true, actually. Yeah, we're like taking the weird out of the Game Awards in a in a weird way.
The more
they should like have a segment of the Game Awards. It's just a free for all.
Anything goes. This is the like Kojima podcast portion of the broadcast.
Yeah, this is exactly. It's like the one portion of the Game Awards will be a battle royale purge of just like whoever can get onto the stage and like get their trailer out there.
Are there still Kojima podcast episodes, by the way? Is he still making that show?
There are. I mean, I think they're like making it seasonal. Like, I haven't checked in on it for like a couple months, I feel like.
Last episode was March 2nd, so it's been a while.
Was it March 2nd? I thought there was more, because like they launched it after that, right?
I don't know. This is what I'm looking at on Spotify. It was launched last year, so in 2022, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just forgetting what year it is. So that's like the problem. That's my problem.
Yeah. Well, you've been playing Alan Wake, so it's a loop, right?
Yeah, I've just been in the dark place. Yeah. Cool. Well, I will be amused to see how wrong all of our predictions are. But it will be fun to talk about it next week. And it'll be fun to get into our own game of the year, end of year stuff.
Coming up, man. Coming up.
Yep. Okay, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our dark place, or light place, however you see it. Find us wherever you find podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Spotify, all that good stuff. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right. Until next time, everyone, we thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.